Second Chronicles chapter 34, from verse 1 onwards. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the wooden images, the carved images, and the molded images. They broke down the altars of the Baals in his presence, and the incense altars which were about them he cut down. And the wooden images, the carved images, and the molded images he broke in pieces and made dust of them and scattered it on the graves of those who had sacrificed to them. He also burned the bones of the priests on their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so he did in the cities of Manasseh, Ephraim, and Simeon, as far as Naphtali, and all around with axes. When he had broken down the altars and the wooden images, had beaten the carved images into powder, and cut down all the incense altars throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. Verse 8, in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the temple, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. When they came to Hilkiah, the high priest, they delivered the money that was brought into the house of God, which the Levites who kept the doors had gathered from the hand of Manasseh and Ephraim, from all the remnant of Israel, from all Judah and Benjamin, and which they had brought back to Jerusalem. Then they put it in the hand of the foreman who had the oversight of the house of the Lord, and they gave it to the workmen who worked in the house of the Lord to repair and restore the house. They gave it to the craftsmen and builders to buy hewn stone and timber for beams, and to floor the houses which the kings of Judah had destroyed. And the men did the work faithfully. Their overseers were Jeheth and Obadiah, the Levites, of the sons of Merari, and Zechariah and Meshullam, of the sons of the Kohathites, to supervise. Others of the Levites, all of whom were skillful with instruments of music, were over the burden bearers and were overseers of all who did work in any kind of service. And some of the Levites were scribes, officers, and gatekeepers. Now when they had brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. Then Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan. So Shaphan carried the book to the king, bringing the king word, saying, all that was committed to your servants they are doing, and they have gathered the money that was found in the house of the Lord, and have delivered it into the hand of the overseers and the workmen. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. Thus it happened when the king heard the words of the law that he tore his clothes. Then the king commanded Hilkiah, Ahikam, and the son of Shaphan, Abdon, the son of Micah, Shaphan the scribe, and Isaiah, a servant of the king, saying, go, inquire of the Lord for me and for those who are left in Israel and Judah, concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out on us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord. Because the fathers have not kept the word of the Lord, to do according to all that is written in this book. So Hilkiah and those the king had appointed went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tokhath, the son of Hazra, keeper of the wardrobe. She dwelt in Jerusalem in the second quarter. And they spoke to her to that effect. Two things here I want to point out, as the Holy Spirit wants me to, before we continue going forward for today's word that God would have for us. So the first thing here we see, when the word of the Lord was read to the king, what did he do with what he heard? What did the king do with what he heard? Let's just scroll back. Just go back to verse 16. So Hilkiah, he's taking the book of the law of Moses and he's giving it to Shaphan, and Shaphan takes it to the king and he reads it. All that was committed to your servants, they're doing. And then he is going to read it. And they have gathered the money that was found in the house of the Lord and delivered it into the hand of the overseers and the workmen. Now, then Shaphan, the scribe, told the king, saying, Hilkiah, the priest, has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. So it's not like you just got the book and now you're going to idolize it. And you're going to say, okay, I found this. Oh, hey, we found this. And now we're all happy about it. But the main reason we have the book is, the book shows the heart of God. Let's read it. So when they heard it, when the king heard it, Josiah heard it, you see here, verse 19, thus it happened when the king heard the words of the law that he tore his clothes. Something that the kings prior to him did not do. He saw this and he said, this is what the word says and look what the people are doing. And God's wrath is upon us. He's not reading from the book of Moses, the law of the Lord, which says, well, you people have destroyed this, and you people have done this, and now the wrath of the Lord is hanging. That's not how it's written in the book of Moses. The book of Moses contains God's heart. The book of Moses shows what the Lord requires. The book of Moses shows what is good in the sight of God and what is displeasing the sight of God. The book also shows the blessings and the curses. Now, when he is reading the word of God or hearing the word that was read, all of a sudden it is the work of the Holy Spirit that is taking place in his spirit. There's this revelation that is coming from the Spirit of God into his spirit through this word that he is hearing, that we did wrong here. The conviction is coming. Our forefathers, look at that. God said, you shall have no other gods before me. And look what they did. Look at all these things that these people have done. And what will happen, God said, if you do this? And he says, all these people have done this. And so we are in serious trouble. The wrath of God is upon us. He was able to connect the word with what his forefathers did. God is speaking to our hearts today. When we read the word, we should be able to understand the heart of God. Not only understand what we're doing, we need to understand what our forefathers did too. That's where generational curses come from. If we don't understand that when we read the word and just think that, oh, I'm happy I got saved and I'm happy I'm speaking in tongues, or I'm happy that, you know, I don't have this or I have this, then we're going to completely miss out. There's something that Josiah identified here as he heard the word of God read to him. He just didn't hear one verse or half a verse and said, good job. I heard something from the law of Moses today. That's enough. No, he was a man. His ears were longing to hear the word of God. Once he knew that the book of God was found, he said, I'm going to hear it. I'm a king, but there's nothing more important than hearing the word of God. Give priority to the word of God, because the word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This word of God will show us which way we should go. This word of God will actually show where a ditch is in front of us. This word of God will actually show what is wrong with our lives and why things are going the way they're going. Suddenly he was able to see, oh my God, this is what the word said. Look at what my dad had done. Look at what my grandfather had done. Look at what my grandmother has done. Look at what these people have done. All of a sudden, he's able to see the sins of the forefathers. Something that he didn't see before. Something that he didn't realize before. Think about that. The conviction, the realization, and the understanding came from hearing this word by the Spirit of God working in his spirit. Connecting the word a person is reading to seeing the heart of God through the word that is being read is very important. Otherwise, we'll just become some historians over here try to say, okay, this is what happened during Moses' time, and that's what happened during Joshua's time, and that's what happened during whoever, Daniel's time, and that's what is going to happen during what, my time, and that's what happened during John the Apostle's time. We can just talk story after story after story, from Bible stories to our own stories. But it's not going to do anything to us if we're not able to connect those stories with our stories and see the missing link here so that your puzzle can be solved. God is speaking at this hour. If you're not able to connect what is happening in your life or what is happening in your community, what is happening during your lifetime to what has happened in the past where the Spirit of God says, you know what? There's this wrath of God that is hanging, and this is where the problem is. If we're not able to have that understanding, if you're not able to understand what God is speaking through his word to make that connection to your current life, then whatever book we may have is of no use. You can just keep it in a nice glass case or preserve it so no dust gets on it. But it's not going to benefit you. It's not going to benefit you. When will it benefit? When that word of God, as you read or as you hear it, it has to make that connection. It has to draw your spirit towards the heart of God. Right now, God is upset. He didn't hear God's voice from heaven saying that while Josiah was hearing the word, while Shaphan was reading, suddenly from above, there was this voice coming, I am angry with my people, or I'm very upset. Nothing like that. How did he get that knowledge and that awareness? And that awareness was not just, okay, I know that God is upset. No. There is this conviction and this burden from inside that caused him to tore his clothes. Sackcloth and ashes on the inside. God is looking for people was serious in their pursuit of the living God. Are you seriously following Jesus Christ? Are you seriously going after him? When you read the Bible, are you able to make connections with God, with his heart, that you're able to understand how he is right now? Is he happy? Not sitting and trying to figure out, are you happy, God, today? We need to know his heart. That means what he's feeling and why. What he's feeling and why is very important. Now here, Josiah, as he's hearing the word of God, he's able to understand the heart of God. Oh my God, God is upset. Look at that. And the cause for it. These people made him so upset. I can't believe this. Why, he didn't say that. Well, they made him so upset. Bad for you. But look at me. I went and I destroyed all these high places. I went and I removed all these things and I did all these things. I am better than my forefathers. Oh, that's Lucifer. Anytime you feel like, oh, I'm better than A, B, and C, you are in trouble. The closer you walk with God, the more humble you'll become. That's a byproduct. If walking with God is not making you more and more humble every day, I'll ask you this question. Do you know who you're walking with? Because I don't see that you're walking with God. Pride is a manifestation of Lucifer. We need to have that humility deep within. When the conviction that comes from God comes to you, it's never going to make you look at yourself in a better light and put others down. No, it's only going to highlight the sin. It's going to only highlight the problem to make you face it so that it can be fixed, not to puff you up. God is speaking at this hour. The conviction from the Holy Spirit came to Josiah. Now he's saying, oh my God, the forefathers did all these things and they've angered the wrath of God, and he tore his robe and he said, oh God, forgive us. See, that's what true repentance is. True repentance will never make a person self-righteous. True repentance will never make a person to despise another person, but that spirit of prayer will come, repentance and earnestly praying to the living God is a true mark of God's work in the life of a human being. So it happened here when the king heard the words of the law, that he tore his clothes. Then the king commanded Hilkiah, Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, Abdon, the son of Micah, Shaphan the scribe, and Isaiah, a servant of the king, saying, go, inquire of the Lord for me, and for those who are left in Israel and Judah, concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out on us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do according to all that is written in the book. If someone says, oh, there's no such a thing called generational curse. No, there is. Because of what the fathers did, the wrath of God is upon who? The children and their children. Because of what the fathers did. If you're a father, be very careful of what you do. Never think that, oh, my sins are private. I can keep it to myself. And as long as no one discovers it, well, God sees it every day. And it's all recorded. Minute by minute, second by second, it's all recorded. There's no such thing as hidden sins. Nothing. Because nothing is hidden in the sight of God Almighty. So what'll happen? For what you did, God's not going to let you off the hook and say, well, you do something wrong, I'm going to punish your kids. No. You do something wrong, you bear the punishment, and part of that punishment is your kids will get punished because they are your kids. Not a good thing. If you live righteously, then what'll happen? God will bless you, and a part of that blessing of God, from God blessing you, will be your kids will be blessed. That's why you see Psalm 127, Psalm 128, you see how God blesses those who fear him. His wife is blessed, his kids are blessed, his generation is blessed. Everything he touches, they're all blessed by God. God is speaking to our hearts at this hour. Josiah, through the Spirit of God, understood this thing. Now, they did something and the wrath of God is hanging over us. We must do something about it. We can't just say, oh, they did this because of that, I'm going through this. And they did this because of that, I'm going through this. They did this because I'm going through this. Oh, poor me. And sitting with that victim mentality and having a pity party. That's not going to help you come out of this. That's actually going to take you deeper into that pit. God is speaking to hearts. If someone did something, and you're going through something as a result of someone because you're connected to them, you have a way out. Remember, you have a way out. God is not unjust at all. When you say, I want to be out of this, Lord, have mercy on me, and you repent and you seek the Lord for forgiveness for what your forefathers did, God will take you out of your curses. God will take you out of whatever bondage that is over your life. God is speaking to you at this hour. But if you say that, well, they did this and, you know, this is a generation curse and I'm carrying this, and so they did this and I'm doing this because they did this too, then you will bear the curse of that. Because what are you doing? You are in agreement, total agreement with whatever they did. Because you see, there's no need for repentance because it's not a big thing for you. So you continue carrying the generation curse. And what are you doing now? You lay it upon your kids. God is speaking at this hour. Be very careful. If you are a parent, be very careful. And if you want to be a parent, be very careful. Josiah saw that we are in trouble because of what they did, but I don't have to be in trouble. I can come out of this. And he says, go find out from God what I need to do so that I can come out of this. That's when he sent the people to the prophetess. And the answer of the Lord came to him. And yes, Josiah had the way out and he made use of the way out. God is speaking to her today. There is a way out. There is a way out. There is a way out. Yes. If you presumptuously sin and presumptuously provoke God to anger, God is slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. But that doesn't mean that you won't get any consequences. If you provoke God and then the wrath of God falls upon you and your generation, who can bear? And the worst part is, that's when people go into delusion where they can't even see. But those who sincerely seek the Lord, the word of God will quicken them on the inside. And all of a sudden they feel, oh my God, look what they did. And because of that, what we are going through is revealed now. And I want to seek the Lord so I can come out of this. Yes, I belong to them. But now I belong to Christ. I don't have to bear the consequences of my forefathers. So in order for you to come out of that, break out of that, you need to seek the Lord. And Josiah did that. That's where the generational curse broke. He was not someone who said, okay, let me just find the prophetess and just me find out what, you know, she says. And no, the good word of the Lord came through the prophetess when he did opposite to all that his father and the forefathers did. That's when the curse was broken. That's when Josiah actually experienced peace. That's when Josiah actually experienced the favor of God. In order for the generational curses to be broken, it's important you repent and you do the opposite of what your fathers and your forefathers did. God, in his kindness, saw Josiah's heart. God so precisely led him so that he can be brought out of this curse that he was under. And Josiah came out of that. He took it seriously. He didn't say, well, I see they all did these things. Well, I didn't do it. They did it. If he would have just sat like that, he would have received the payment for it. It's like the inheritance, right? Parents have a house and they pass it on to their kids and the kids pass it on to their kids. It's an inheritance. Same thing happens when it comes to sin. The wages of sin is death. And those who engage themselves in sin, whether it's pornography, alcoholism, or some kind of abuse, abusing people, extorting others, verbal abuse, planning against other people, looking to see how they can trip up others, looking to see how they can actually put someone down so that they can come up. All these things are an abomination to God. Go and speak wrong about someone to someone else so that they can split their relationships. These are all abominations before God. They all carry curses. And what happens? Someone who is sowing discord in the lives of someone else, guess what will happen? The person who sows discord in the lives of others will inherit discord in their own lives, where all the time they'll be facing war, no peace. What you sow, that's what you'll reap. Nothing different. You sow evil, you'll reap evil. You sow righteousness, you will eat the fruit of righteousness. So when it comes to your actions, they matter. Good actions will reap good fruit. Bad actions will reap bad fruits. So with sin, the wages of sin is death. So a parent, a man or a woman, before their marriage, during the marriage, whatever they do, there's a payment that'll come with it because it always carries that wages, right? You get the fruit of it. you plant the seeds and you water it unrighteously. You're pouring water through your unrighteous deeds and your behavior, your words, your lifestyle. What'll happen? That tree will grow. The seed will grow into a big tree. And you keep pouring and pouring and pouring until one day you understand, oh my God, what have I grown? Because I'm going to sit and eat this. And this is what you've been eating. But now, by the mercies of God, you have the revelation that you have this monstrous tree that is there, that is carrying all these fruits that are there. These fruits are called death, fruits of death. Not only are you going to have it, that's your inheritance that you're going to pass on to your kids and to their kids and to their kids if no one in the middle stops that. That's your inheritance. That's the inheritance unrighteous people pass on to their generation. And you call that hereditary diseases, from mental illness to physical illness to all kinds of spiritual problems to all kinds of marital problems, to all kinds of financial problems, to all kinds of problems, period. What happens? Parents who think that they can deceive and do all these things, and they think that they can build houses and they can have lands and they can be well and see, hey, look how I'm well off in the society. Meanwhile, what have they done? They have sown unrighteous seeds. They have to sit and eat that now. Who's going to eat that? They're going to eat with their kids. And their kids are going to eat that. And what's going to happen to them? What's going to happen to them? They're going to be partakers of the evil. And it passes on. So if you have this question, why should I bear this for what they did? That's because that's the blessing that they've given to you in a negative way. That's the inheritance they pass on to you because you belong to their seed. But if you're righteous before God, the seed of the righteous will flourish before God and before man. But even for the seed of the righteous, the good inheritance can be taken and squandered. Remember the prodigal son story. So it doesn't matter if someone is saying that, oh, because I'm born in a righteous home and I've been given all these things, automatically I'll be blessed. Automatically, whatever I'll do will prosper. No. There is this blessing that is there, but you begin to sow unrighteousness, what'll happen? You're going to be growing an unrighteous tree and you'll be sitting and eating the unrighteous fruit. And whatever blessing that inheritance that was passed on, you just took it like the prodigal son and you just wasted it. Now you just sit and eat pig's food. That's not even going to be there at one point. So remember this. What you sow, you will reap. What your parents sowed, you will reap. What your grandfather sowed, you will reap that too. As much as we rejoice in getting inheritances, know what you're getting. Are they giving you curse or are they giving you blessings? And whatever they're giving you, what is it carrying with it? We have to be very careful with these things. And we need to pray. We have to say, Lord, I want to be upright before you. And I don't want to pass any curse to my children, to their children. There are many people who have spiritual leanness in their souls and spiritual leanness in their families because of the curse of God. It comes upon them. They've done such evil. They have to eat their fruit and the kids and their kids and their kids and their kids. They eat the fruit of that. God is speaking to our today. God is not unfair at all. You get that curse and you say, I'm getting this, and you have a strong family tie. And you get that curse with it. There's no way you can come out of that curse unless you break that tie spiritually. There's no way you can come out of that curse unless you do what Josiah did, which is he repented before God and he did the opposite of what his dad did, opposite of his what his granddad did, opposite of his forefather, grandmother, whoever it is, mother, whoever, whatever. Whatever he saw, the idolatry and all kinds of abomination, he said, I'm going to do the opposite. So what did he do? Did he just say, well, I'm just going to build another temple and we're going to worship? No. First thing he did was, I'm going to destroy all the bad things that they did, not leave any trace of it. And he just wiped everything out. That's the first step. In order to remove yourself from the generational curses is very important. You need to go and make sure that's out. All the Baal worship, all the statues and all the high places, carved images, molded images, whatever is there, whatever abomination is there, it needs to be put away first. Then you need to do the opposite. What did they do? They destroyed the true worship. You need to bring that true worship. They brought false worship and destroyed true worship. You need to make sure I do the opposite. Not only bring in true worship, but destroy false worship. If you don't do that, then the wrath of God will not be moved, will not be removed. The generational curse will not be removed from our lives. Very important. This is a very important topic. There are many scriptures to it. There are many passages in the Bible. But today, the Spirit of God wants to address just this from this passage. And we understand. Josiah removed himself from this curse, from this wrath of God, by sowing good seeds. His parents and his grandparents and his great-grandparents sowed wicked seeds. They ate and they passed that inheritance to him. And now he said, I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want it. And what did he do? He cut down that tree and he parted. They parted from their evil ways. And he said, I don't want the inheritance. And what happened after that? He started doing the right thing, which was he started sowing seeds of righteousness. And God said, you will eat the fruit of it, Josiah. In your days, the rest of the people who sowed unrighteousness will eat the fruit of it. And all those who did not part with that inheritance of unrighteousness, they'll all eat the fruit of it. But you, Josiah, you sowed to righteousness. Therefore, you will eat the fruit of it. And Josiah enjoyed the favor of God. In order for us to enjoy the favor of God, just staying and saying, Lord, I declare your favor to go before me. I declare this over me. I declare, you know, there are a lot of declares out there. Those are all empty words, empty words. It means nothing and nothing happens. Well, we need to know. We need to do what we should do that will reverse that which needs to be reversed. We should never be Christians or believers who'll be beating in the air. We need to be Christians who know how to, when to, and what to do when it comes to living a victorious life, when it comes to removing curse from our lives, when it comes to putting away death, which is the fruit of sin, by not sinning and living a righteous life. May God help each and every single one here to understand this. Only when you come to that place, even the place for the generation curse to be broken, through the servants of God, will actually become existent. If we don't repent and if we don't come to a place of total surrender and a broken place like how Josiah came and he just tore his clothes and he said, I cannot see this continue. If you don't come to that place, then no matter who prays for you, it's not going to work. God looks for integrity in the utmost being of every single one's heart. In order for the blessings of the Lord to land upon you. In order for the blessings of the Lord to land upon you. I see this. The Holy Spirit has shown me. For some people, the blessings of the Lord comes. While it's coming, you have the curse that is there. That's actually not letting you receive it. The blessed thing comes and the curse is there. The blessed thing comes and the curse is there. So what is happening between you and the blessing? The curse is there, so you're not getting what you need to get, no matter how you cry and how you strive and how many verses you say. It's important for you to know. The curse has to go. It's not an automatic thing because, oh, Jesus died on the cross. He took a curse away and therefore, you know, I don't have any curse anymore. I mean, people can say all kinds of things. It doesn't matter. Is it the truth? Is it the truth? Just like because Jesus died on the cross, we can have the Holy Spirit. Does it mean that you automatically receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Just because Jesus died on the cross, you have victory over sin. Do you automatically become sin free? You have a part in everything. Just because someone deposited money in your bank, does it automatically come to you? You need to withdraw. You need to put your pin in. You need to put your card in. Whatever you have to do, purchase, you have to do whatever you need to do in order to access that. You can't just sit in one place and say, Christ did it all. Yeah, he did it all. He did his part. You're the one who's not doing your part. That's why it's not coming to you, even though it's there. You're not able to take it because your hands are so short and it's all scrunched up that you're not even getting what belongs to you. If Jesus died on the cross and you truly believe that, if Jesus died on the cross for your sins, you truly believe that. If Jesus died on the cross truly for your sicknesses and you believe that. If Jesus truly died on the cross for your curse and you truly believe that. Are you being a partaker of all these things? Is something blocking you? Something blocking you. I know people who will go and ruin other people's family, or if someone needs to get married, they'll go and ruin people's marriages. I've seen in their homes where their children will not get married. If they get married somehow, their marriage won't last. I've seen these kinds of generational curses. Just happens. See, divorce, and then not married. There's a way out though. You can reverse that. The people who have so many curses walking around with so many curses over their heads, where they feel like I can't even hold it anymore. My neck is hurting. My head is hurting. My body can't take it anymore. But they will not do a thing about it. When will you stop what you can stop? So that you don't have to live the way you live. When will you take action? When will you take it seriously? When will you take the word of God seriously? When will you just stop justifying whatever you're going through, saying that, oh, that's how it is. My family's like that. My kids are like that. My house is like that. And this is how we are. And there are some people who have a demonic way of saying, we're all messy and it's a messy family. And this is how it is. And which family doesn't have a mess? Stop it right there. Which family doesn't have a mess? Well, certainly not God's family, though. We need to be very careful with what we speak. Don't be content with your problems. Don't be content with carrying your curses and walking around. Does God want you to carry the weight that you don't have to? Because Jesus died on the cross for that. Why did he have to die on the cross? Carrying your curses and your pain and your weight upon himself, upon his body. He himself bore upon his body that which you shouldn't be bearing. See, unless it's for righteousness' sake, like Job, shouldn't be carrying anything else. Now, those who carry that which they are carrying because it's the burden of the Lord that has been upon them, whether it's a physical condition, like we know there's a glory, eternal weight of glory that is there attached with it. It's worth it. You call that good fight of faith. But you shouldn't be carrying generational curses upon yourself. Jesus didn't die for that. He didn't die for that. You shouldn't be carrying the weight of generational curses upon yourself. Jesus died to set you free. My sins are forever forgotten. My curses forever broken. But did you activate it? Have you received debit cards? And you never activated the debit card or the credit card. Can you use it? You won't be able to use it. Many people are like that. Jesus paid it all and he laid it all, but did you lay hold of it? No. Didn't activate it. Because you didn't activate it, you don't have it. Really, you don't have it. It's there. On your name, it's there. But do you have it actually? No, you don't. Until you become a partaker of that which God has for you by doing your part. Whatever Christ did is in vain. Don't let that happen to you. Don't let that happen to you. Take it seriously. Take it seriously. Be like Josiah, who reversed the curse that was upon himself. Be like Josiah, who brought in the favor of God upon himself by being the person who did the opposite of what his forefathers did, so that he can remove himself from that curse. The wrath of God, the wrath of God, the wrath of God. Oh, who can stand underneath the wrath of God? Who can stand? Praise be to God for what God did in Josiah and through him. God loved him so much and he showed him that way out. God loves you so much today and he's showing you the way out. Take heed to what God reveals and simply do it. We'll enjoy God's prosperity. We'll enjoy God's peace. Just like how Josiah did. Shall we close our eyes and look to the Lord? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this nighttime. For giving us this hour at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we are empty without you. And I thank you that you've made us full through Jesus Christ. Thank you for making us full through Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Bless your people this night. May the word that you have spoken to them speak to them even more. I pray, Holy Spirit, may each and every one be careful with what they do when it comes to living on this side of eternity. May they pass on the blessings of God to their families and not the curses. May they become inheritors of your blessings by pleasing you in all things. May they be people who will reverse the generational curse, O Lord, and bring blessings upon their lives and upon their children and their children. Thank you, Father. May each and every single one be faithful to you so that they can be blessed and their generations can be blessed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. We're so privileged to be your people, Father. We're so privileged to be led by you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for never giving us a burden that we cannot bear. As your word says, as you said, Lord Jesus, take my yoke and learn of me, for my burden is easy. Hallelujah. My load is light. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I pray that you'll bless your people in an abundant way. And all those who are under the yoke of this generation curse, may their yokes be broken, Father, in the name of Jesus, by doing what they should do before you. May that yoke be broken. May the yoke of Jesus Christ alone be upon them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Bless your people every single one here, oh Lord, you have brought them. These are your people. I pray that the hand of the Savior rest upon them, causing them to prosper before you, in their spirits, in their souls, in their minds, in their bodies. That each one may go from strength to strength until they see you face to face. With this blessing, I bless them with, and I thank you for doing it. In Jesus' most precious name I pray. Amen. Amen.